Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Why do we assume that God must always forgive us? When we make this assumption, grace no longer amazes us. For if God is obligated to forgive everyone, then grace becomes something very unamazing, very routine. I mean, if everyone on this planet is automatically entitled to God's grace, then grace is really not something very special at all. You see, the very essence of grace is that God is not required to give it to you. For grace is a gift. It is not something God owes us. We often take grace for granted. We presume that God's grace will always be there for us every time we're done wallowing in the filth of our sins. We sin, we need forgiveness. We ask for God's grace, we receive it, we forget about it, and we go back to our sinning. And after we repeat this cycle about 1,000 times, grace can seem about as unexciting and ordinary as doing a load of laundry. For every time we fall into sin, it's like falling into the mud. And we repeat the same baptismal wash cycle to get clean again. We've repeated this wash cycle so many times that we have come to expect God's grace no matter where we are in the cycle. We simply make our plans to sin, assuming that God's grace will kick in afterwards like the rinse cycle. And so we abuse God's grace when we treat it as something automatic, whether we're repentant or not. My friends, in Christ, real grace is God's inexplicable, his unexplainable love for you, the sinner. Biblical grace is God's unexpected mercy that Christ obtained for you on the cross. God's grace chose you. God's grace called you to believe in Jesus, even though you deserve God's wrath as much as anyone else on this planet. God did not simply pluck you from the undeserving pile of humanity because he saw anything salvageable in you. That's why grace is so amazing, because it defies human logic. For why would God forgive those who did not love him and who were not worth saving? That being said, our modern sense of entitlement would make us still like to think that God had no other choice but to save us. But actually, God did have another choice. For the Bible says of God, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. Now, as churchgoers, we're accustomed to think of God as that God who wants to save us by his grace. What shocks us and stuns us, what absolutely amazes us, is to stop and think that God would be well within his rights to destroy us sinners without the intervention of grace. The church over the past centuries has neglected its duties to teach the law or to take seriously the coming wrath of God. And so most people no longer realize just how serious God is about punishing sin. Because God's punishment has been so long in coming, many have forgotten it and assumed that his threats weren't serious. And so these days, when we no longer hear much about God as lawgiver and judge, churchgoers find these threats of God's word, wrath, far more amazing than grace, because they are far harder to believe. After weighing the severity of their offenses against God, a former generation of Christians would have asked the question we find in the hymn Amazing Grace: why would God save a wretch like me? Whereas today's churchgoer is far more likely to ask, why not me? What's wrong with me? Why wouldn't God save me if he's going to save you? Living in this postmodern age has sadly shrunk our understanding of God. But the Bible offers a far more complex picture of God. Yes, God is gracious. Yes, God is merciful. And yet the Bible also explains that our God is also holy and just, and he must punish sins. Now, most of you know I am an absolute pushover for my granddaughter, Ella. If she says grandpa and smiles, I'll pretty much give her anything if she wants. And if she says, grandpa, I love you, she gets the keys to the bass boat. God, however, is not that overly indulgent, grandfatherly figure who can't say no to us. God can say no to sinners. He is not a God who simply tolerates sin in this anything-goes culture that we live in. Then why haven't we seen his anger? We have. In fires and floods, in wars and rumors of wars, in disease and pestilence and famine, in earthquakes and hurricanes and tsunamis. God's anger leaks out from time to time, even though he is storing up his full and final wrath until the very end of time. In earlier times, Christians understood this, and when these tragic events occurred, such as earthquakes or fires or floods, it prompted days of deep repentance in the church among God's people. Now that we've been secularized, we prefer to refer to these calamities as natural disasters. Frankly, we like this better, because we would rather believe that nature alone, without God's involvement, is responsible for these horrific events. Is it that? Or is it that we don't want to believe that God could have any reason to be that angry with us? I know some will scoff and say, my God wouldn't do such a thing. He would not kill innocent people who were simply caught in the path of a tornado. But that's the point, my friends. They're not innocent, and neither are we. The astounding point here isn't that God sometimes destroys a few. The amazing part is that God doesn't just go ahead and destroy us all right now. That's the grace part. That God, through these events, gives you time to think about it, to reflect, to repent, to get your house in order, to get right with God. Some would prefer if God just left them alone and let them take their chances against the forces of nature. But that's not how it works. You see, God always punishes evil, except in those rare and amazing circumstances in which God grants us his grace. God is holding back most of his anger to that final day of the Lord. But whether we see the stock market crash, or whether we hear doctors calling for the crash cart in the ER, every such circumstance reminds us that sin comes with consequences. Every event is grace to us if that event causes you to repent and to return to God through faith in the cross. And yet every such event is also a stern warning that God has not forgotten to punish, nor will he tolerate our sins. We must never confuse grace with tolerance. I want you to look at the cross, and I want you to ask yourself, does this reveal a God who is tolerant of sin? As he extracts the very lifeblood from his Son in order to be able to get past our sins. The world doesn't want the God of the cross. They want a God who is permissive, a God who will leave them alone, get off their back, and let them do what they were doing without any adverse consequences. Some call this kind of permissiveness grace, but it's not. For God's grace always comes after repentance. And God's grace only comes through faith in Christ and faith's connection to the cross. If you look at the Old Testament reading from this morning from the book of Isaiah, its central theme is the day of the Lord is coming. And that day, although it will be a day of grace for us, is a day of divine vengeance and wrath when God's anger will be poured out against all humanity. On that day, the Lord says to Zephaniah, I will sweep away the face of the earth. The wicked will lie in heaps of rubble. I will bring distress upon people, and they will stagger around like blind men in the dark because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood will be poured out like dust and their entrails like filth. And neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on this day of my wrath. For I have decided to assemble the nations, to gather kingdoms, and to pour my wrath out upon them, all my fierce anger, says the Lord. I'd read you more, but the images only get more disturbing. The day of the Lord literally means in Hebrew, Yahweh is hidden. On that day, both God and God's grace will be hidden from the nations, and they will only know the God of wrath. This is the most vexing part of the whole thing, that with Yahweh hidden, there will no longer be an opportunity to repent and return to Yahweh, for that day will have passed. The time for forgiveness and grace will come to an end. And on that day, the Lord says to Zephaniah, even the most confident, poised, and mighty man will cry aloud, for with all his strength gone, there will be no one left to save him. Zephaniah was the Lord's prophet, and he was sent to speak this alarming message to the kingdom of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. Both that kingdom and that city had betrayed the Lord. They had participated in all kinds of pagan worship practices and various kinds of immorality. However, since at one time they had been counted among God's chosen people, they didn't think that they could fall from favor with God, no matter what they did. But they were wrong. They were complacent to think that God could never punish them. For even though they had been people God's people, by grace, they had fallen from grace. My friends, if you are no longer amazed by grace in your life, it could be that you have not heard enough law, that you are still shocked and appalled at the thought of God's justice, that you are having trouble believing that you are a sinner and believing that God's wrath is real. You must take these threats against you and your sins seriously and literally. Only then will you be amazed by grace again. For only then will you be amazed that even though you deserve nothing but wrath and eternal punishment, that God has not destined you for wrath. For he has destined you to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. What's amazing is that for you, the believer, that day of the Lord, that day of God's intense wrath, has already come. For on that day that Christ died, God poured out his full and final wrath upon Jesus Christ hanging on that cross instead of you. On the cross, God canceled all your debts, and along with those debts, all of his threats of wrath against you. And so your judgment day was Good Friday. Your new life with God started on Easter. Eternal life for you began at your baptism. You do not deserve his grace. But nonetheless, you have received his grace in Christ. My friends, that is what makes God's grace so truly amazing. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.